Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our program today, number one topic, is Rod Parsley is a Child of God abuser. And we will be talking about that, and we will also be talking about Marcus Lamb of Daystar Network and his phony crying and the recent arrest record for Ron Luce, of Ron Luce of Teen Mania. So, of course, we're familiar with Rod Parsley, most of us anyway. He's on many of the so-called Christian television networks, and recently he was diagnosed with throat cancer, and he was silent for almost 100 days. So you would think that when you have been using your throat to talk and to eat and to stand in a pulpit like Rod does, because he pastors a church, and he also has a Bible college in Columbus, Ohio, and the television network. So you would think that Rod comes down with throat cancer, and on one of the videos that he recently did when he appeared at his church, he said that God didn't do this to him because God is not a child abuser. But we know that God allowed it. And also, I want to ask Rod Parsley the question, why are you a child of God abuser? After spending so many days on a bed of affliction, being tortured by radiation treatments and scopes down your nose to your throat and the other things that you had to suffer, I wonder, Rod, why the Lord was not able to get your attention, and why in my email, and I will read part of it to my listeners, and also if, Rod, you happen to listen to this broadcast or one of your family members, your email of October 3rd, you say, the window to receive five supernatural tabernacle blessings is closing fast. Please don't miss out. Sow your seed of faith right now, and let me pray with you for your miracle at our Feast of Tabernacle celebration. And of course, the word feast is misspelled there, so whoever is doing your writing or your editing didn't do a spell check. Where in your life do you need release, freedom, deliverance? Your moment is now. It's time for your jubilee. Just as God commanded the three yearly feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, he also commanded a year of Jubilee to take place after seven times 7 years at the beginning of the 50th year. Yeah, well, Rod, excuse me, but if I don't pay my phone bill, I do not get a Jubilee from the phone company. If I do not pay my credit card bill, I do not get a year of jubilee from the credit card company. If my listeners don't pay their mortgage payments or their rent, they do not get a year of jubilee from the mortgage company or from the landlord. Also, these things don't apply anymore. We have a new covenant. We have a better covenant, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. So we don't stand before God. You are taking the place of God, because if you really believe this, you would tell people just to give their neighbor some money or to send some money to a ministry that's ministering to the prisons or to the homeless. But no, Rod, you tell people to send it to you, and you live in over a million dollar house, and you live a life of luxury. And you are a child of God abuser. I'm going to continue reading this letter. As I share in my brand new Jubilee devotional, and you shouldn't even waste the paper to write this thing, because there is no such thing as a Jubilee. If there is one person, please, and I put out the challenge, if there's one person out there that has a testimony that all their debts were forgiven because they gave a Jubilee offering, please email me, susan@propheticnews.com. Because, Rod, you didn't even get a Jubilee blessing, because you, as of a few months ago, now I don't know if you've settled this lawsuit, but you were telling people that you needed $1 million to pay off a lawsuit. So you didn't get a Jubilee. Okay, he goes on. As I share in my brand new Jubilee devotional, slaves were to be set free. Well, I'm not a slave, and nobody else that's born again is a slave. We're not slaves. Debts were to be forgiven. Debts. Who's going to forgive the debts? Who? Lost property and possessions were to be restored during this divinely appointed time. Divinely appointed by you, Rod Parsley. Hear me with your heart. Receive this deep down in your spirit. I don't want you to miss it. No, it's not about us. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you paying your bills. It's about you continuing with this farce that you call ministry. Please sow your seed now and take part in the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles anymore. We don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. As you do, I believe God will be true to his word and pour out these five amazing blessings. Okay, here are the five blessings that even you didn't get, Rod. You didn't get it. Oxen, financial blessing, represents your livelihood, shelter, and financial health, which you didn't get. Sheep, the source of food, essentials, day-to-day details of life. Wine, a symbol of joy. How much joy did you have, Rod, when you were going through 100 days of silence and radiation treatment? Stop it! Strong drink for healing. God's power in your body. Medical needs met. You didn't have your medical needs met. Whatever your soul desires, God wants to give you the longings of your heart. Yeah, I'll tell you what God wants to give you, Rod Parsley. Rod and Joni and your children, God wants to give you a spirit of repentance. That's what God wants to give you. That's what God wants from you. That's what I was waiting to hear from you, and a lot of other people were waiting to hear from you. Oh, God, I have sinned. I am lost and undone. That's what we wanted to hear. Not this abomination that you send out to people that are hurting. You yourself know what it's like to hurt. And yet you abuse the people of God. You abuse people that have needs, tremendous needs, by telling them, send some money to me, and you tell them they're giving it to God. Since when did you become God's representative? And God doesn't need any money anyway. What's he going to do with it? How stupid. You claim to be a head of a Bible college. You claim to be, oh, this great minister, and your voice will not be silenced, and you're going to come back. I hope not. I hope not. I hope you don't come back. Don't come back. Don't ruin anybody else's life with your lies, okay? Don't come back until you repent, until you start preaching the real gospel, the real gospel, the gospel of love, love. Real love for people, not just looking out for your own self with lying to people and cheating people. You say here, as you sow generously today, I will thank you with the commemorative edition of my brand new Jubilee devotional. Forget it. Forget your Jubilee devotional. And if you're able to sow $100 or more, I will send you my new book, God's End Time Calendar. Forget it. You don't know anything about God's End Time Calendar. You wonder why. You say, why? Okay, why are you so upset? Because thousands of people flock to see, to go to your building there with their children and their young people, and young people are coming there. Their parents are sending them there to your so-called Bible college to learn what? To learn how to scam people? It's disgraceful. Disgraceful. And then you're raising up your daughter, Ashton, to be just like you. I hope Ashton gets a mind of her own and says, no, I'm not going to do it, Dad. I'm not going to do it, because I know the whole story. I know you at home, and I know you here in the pulpit. And even you make your daughter and your wife call you pastor, they can't even call you by your first name when they talk about you. It's stupid. Just stupid. Anyway, that's my message to Rod Parsley today. Rod Parsley, child of God abuser. And I'm going to read this scripture here from the book of Micah, the third chapter. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil?" And I'm putting this in here, just like a wolf, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. And I'm putting Rod Parsley's name in there. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. And that's what you're doing, Rod Parsley. You're divining for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if one day that church is closed up, boarded up. We've already seen that in the case of Richard Roberts and his father, Oral. They lost their hospital that they built. They spent over $80 million. It went bankrupt. Richard Roberts lost the university. He's no longer the president. He basically run out of town there in Tulsa. Somebody else took it over after he ran it $50 million in debt. And Seed Faith ain't working for them either, you know. And we saw with Paula and Randy White, their building in Tampa, Florida was foreclosed. And they filed for bankruptcy and it was totally demolished. Yes, it was torn down. You can see the video on YouTube. And their building in Lakeland was sold at a foreclosure auction and bulldozed. Yes, almost a 10,000-seat church. Well, of course, they didn't build it. It was built in the 80s by an Assembly of God preacher, Carl Strader. But it was bulldozed and torn down also. So Jim Baker's place in PTL in North Carolina, you can look at the videos of that. The demolished buildings, the derelict buildings that were left behind after that debacle. So God is not mocked. You can't continue to do these kind of things and think you're going to get away with it. You might get away with it for a season and be enjoying yourself and enjoy the fame and the riches and all that, and people patting you on the back and everybody calling you great and everything. But one day God knocks on your door and he says, okay, it's judgment time. Judgment time here. Nobody wants to go through that. It's better to repent. It's better to repent and let God deal with you privately than for him to have to deal with you openly. So I'm calling on Rod Parsley and his wife, Joni, and their daughter, Ashton, to repent, and to stop this foolishness, this scamming, and this lying to people. When you have absolutely no biblical basis for any of this foolishness. Giving is an act of love. We give to each other. We don't give to God because God doesn't need anything. He already gave everything he had when he said, and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we need anything from God, we don't have to shove a $5 bill at him. We just ask him in prayer. And if he doesn't give it to us, it's because we ask amiss. I guess God knows better than we do. Most people put themselves in their own financial mess. And you, Rod Parsley, can't get them out of it. You can't even get yourself out of your mess. So hopefully, and I don't know if it's going to happen, really. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for God to get this man's attention. I really don't. Because he's still, and I'm going to play some audio in a few minutes, he's still standing up there full of pride, bragging about himself, and anybody could go to his website, iHarv TV, and they have the on-demand episodes there, and you can see some of the recent Sunday morning services, and you can see Rod for yourself and how he looks. He doesn't look good at all, and of course, he is recovering from throat cancer. Anyway, I'm going to play this audio that I have. And this is Rod Parsley from last Sunday when he makes his grand entrance into the building. And everybody's screaming and applauding, of course. And so I'm going to play it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put your hands together and welcome our pastor, Pastor Rod Parsley, as he comes to greet you.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The devil may try to stop it. He may try to block it. He may try to hinder it. He may try to put his hand on it. But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall... Now listen, you never know how much a thing means to you until you're faced with the possibility of never having it again. So since you've been able to use your vocal cords to declare His word unhindered, I want you to shout like you've never shouted before. Weeks. devil is still a liar. I will bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. One very dramatic lesson that our Father hath taught me during these 16 weeks is to not forget all of his benefits. And then he tells us what they are. Who forgives all our iniquities, that he did not leave it out, and heals all our diseases. This, my dear brother and sister, is no longer debatable. A thorough examination of God's holy word bears out clearly, that divine healing is a benefit, not a bonus. A benefit is something that comes right along with the covenant. A bonus is something added to based on performance or discretion. Your employer has the discretion to give you a bonus, but God solidified it in his word. For you to be healed this very day is a benefit. It's in the contract. It belongs to you. There is no cancer. There is no tumor. I wasn't even supposed to be able to speak at this point. And God is a wonder. And soon and very soon, I will be back in full voice with a 7 times greater anointing of influence for the kingdom than I've ever possessed. To his glory. Jeremiah 30:17 said, he has restored my health and heals my wounds. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, spirit, soul, and body, rich in our possessions, rich in our friendships, rich in our anointings, rich in health, and he adds no sorrow with it. And we thank God for the good work of doctors, but just about any time they touch you, they leave a little residue that you need a further healing from. And we are in the throes of that, and God is being glorified. And he is healing my wounds. I am overwhelmed this day. 2 Timothy 1 tells us, where Paul speaks to young Timothy, and he said, now, boy, don't think this thing all belongs to you. It didn't start with you, and it won't end with you. He said it was in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and then it got in you. And then you would place it into somebody else. The thrilling thing is, when you think about the great, great anointings that God has graced the earth with down through time, none of them have ever left this planet. They're all still right here, multiplying generationally, becoming stronger, not weaker. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. The anointings of Smith Wigglesworth and Howard Carter, Amy Simple McPherson, Jack Coe and A.A. Allen, all the way back to the Apostle Paul. Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. He's a good, good Father. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. That's who I am. Dr. Lester Sumrall, right here where Ashton Blair, say hello to Blair. Laid his hands on Miss Joni and I right here, handed us that sword and released that anointing into our lives, and we carry it humbly today. Oh, I have to tell this. I would often go to the International Charismatic Bible Ministers Conference, conducted by the great Dr. Oral Roberts on the Oral Roberts University campus in the Mabee Center. I was privileged to preach there, one of the main services 5 years running. I was seated in an afternoon session by the curtain. Dr. Roberts, it was announced that he was unable to be in the service that afternoon. While they were making that announcement, Dr. Lester Sumrall reached over and he put his hand on my knee. And he said, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "Do I feel what?" He said, "Do you feel the healing anointing? Now, check your belly. It's in your belly." And I could feel the power of God in my belly. I said, "Yes, sir. I sense that." He said, "Learn that. That's the healing anointing." And he said, "There's one reason it's here. I don't care what that guy's saying. Oral Roberts is in this room." At that moment, the curtain pulled back, and Dr. Oral Roberts reached over me and shook hands with Dr. Sumrall and said, "I wasn't supposed to be here, but I felt the healing anointing," and walked to that place. That anointing is in this room right now. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. The most powerful time I ever felt the anointing was another meeting in the Mabee Center. Billy Hinn, my dear friend, who'd been attacked in his body this year, and Richard Roberts were standing on the platform, and they said, "Rod," and they just took their hands together like this, and they went like that. And the next thing I knew, I was underneath the seats, four rows back. I never felt the power of God like that. That anointing is here this morning. And we are meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we receive that anointing today. Everyone standing with me, please. He is the chief executive officer of the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, the founder of Richard Roberts School of Miracles. He and his lovely wife, Lindsay, host the Place for Miracles daily television broadcast. His beautiful daughter, Chloe, we brought daughters today. His youngest, Chloe, is here with him today.
Oh, honest. But that particular Sunday, last Sunday anyway, Richard Roberts was there. And I personally saw a video of, you know, Richard Roberts, his heyday is over. Yeah, at one time they did have these huge conferences in Tulsa. They had a ministerial fellowship, and thousands of ministers would come from all over the world and pack this place out. But recently, when Richard Roberts was in Tampa at Randy White's place there, in this little dumpy, moldy church that Randy had on Kennedy in Tampa, I was there at the building, so I saw it, so I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the building. I was in there. It was moldy, and it run down, and that's after his place was bulldozed, and he had to move out of his building there that he had in Tampa for many years. But Richard Roberts came one Sunday morning. He didn't even fill the place. The place, it might have seated a few hundred people, that building that he was in then, Randy. And Richard Roberts didn't even fill the place. And I went personally and saw Lindsay when she was there one Saturday morning ministering to the women, and there wasn't even 30 women in the place. So their heyday is over, okay? It's, you know, it's over. I went years ago to, in the 1980s, to see Richard Roberts and Oral Roberts when they were at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and the place was packed. There was thousands of people. You thought people came out to see the Pope? Well, they came out to see Oral and Richard the same way, but that's over. That's over and done with. I'm not sure if I have a caller here, 614, but I'm going to see if I do have a caller. 614, do you have a question or are you just listening?
Hey, Susan. Yes, I live in Columbus, Ohio, and I attended World Harvest Church for, I would say, 15 years, and God got me out of that mess about 2 years ago. And
praise
I was
the
just
Lord.
Calling, amen. And and you know what? To say that that ministry's heyday, I think, is over as well. And I'll give you some I can give you two specific
I can appreciate
examples.
That. Thank you for calling, because 614, I recognize the area code. This is a man that lives in Columbus, Ohio, and attended the church for 15 years. So, thank you.
It's am I still on?
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, first of all, the Bible College, the main building used to be this four beautiful buildings, you know, a big sanctuary, a music building, a small chapel, and an office building. It's up for sale. It's shut down.
Wow, it's all shut down?
Let me be more specific. They moved it into the main building over on Gender Road. So this Bible College is on the decline, obviously. They seem to be hard for cash, and they're trying to sell the building, which back in the 90s was a red-hot ministry, you know, thousands of students there. My wife and I even attended at one point, and it was packed.
Oh, wow.
And then the other thing I noticed is, oh, it was probably about 3 or 4 months ago, I went to a service, and it was a Sunday morning service. Rod Parsley was preaching, and I was really shocked to see that the sanctuary on a Sunday morning was about half full, less than half full.
Yeah.
So the entire back section, the curtains were closed.
I see.
It looked almost like a Wednesday night service. It was so poorly attended, and I really felt bad for the people because, you know, the front rows were filled with the people who have been there for 20 plus years, and it was like a, you know, who's club at World Harvest Church. Just, you know, people looked to me very prideful and just, you know, clapping seals, and then in the back rows, you know, I saw an elderly woman, an elderly African-American woman, come in with a walker, you know, carrying her purse with her little baby grandchild next to her, walking up to the front. And just these people who, you know, they've got to be so beaten down with these multiple offerings, every service beating over their head. You have to tithe, you know, promising, like this tape you just played of Rod Parsley, that story about Oral Roberts, he's told that 100 times if he's told it once.
Yeah.
And I guarantee, I didn't even hear that service. I can't stomach to listen to them anymore. But I guarantee you it was leading up to an offering. Like, you too, okay, who needs healing in their body? Okay, put a seed with your need. I guarantee you that was coming next. And what really got me out of that ministry was I noticed the, you know, sorry, it's kind of a harsh term, but dirtbags like Brian Kern.
Oh, yeah, dirtbag. No, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, he deserves the title. And for people that aren't familiar with Brian Kern, you can go on YouTube. There's a testimony from a girl, I think her name is Ashley, who he picked up at a church and took to a motel and gave a disease to. So that's the recent so-called prophet running through World Harvest that Rod is allowing in his church, so-called, and around his daughter.
But it's like the lowest of the low of the low, Stephen Furtick. And, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars I've given to that ministry over the years. It's well over $100,000, and you know, shame on me for doing it, but I just thank God that He opened my eyes and got me out of that mess. And you know, I pray for the people who are still there. I don't think God judges people per se, but I do think that He will allow affliction to come upon them for the purpose of them to repent.
Yes.
And I hope He does repent, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, it's, you know, they're just trying to keep that ministry afloat. It's a, you know, I told my wife, she got out of that mess too, and she was questioning her faith. And my statement to her was, God is not obligated to bless you because you gave money to Rod Parsley Incorporated. And that's exactly what it is. It's a business. It's a family business.
Yeah, it's a family business.
I mean, you know, money comes into that place and very little goes out. I think it's a family business. They skim it off the top. It's in decline. And they seem desperate now to keep the thing afloat.
Well, they are desperate. They put Joni up there the last few Wednesdays. And, you know, she's going through the thing with her husband. She's going through the thing with her son. And she's there having to prepare sermons in desperation because, of course, Rod couldn't talk for 100 days or more. And I was waiting to see just some glimmer of hope where I would see some kind of change in him. Some humbling or something, but nothing. Nothing.
Well, you know, I think his conscience is just so seared for having, you know, taken advantage of people for so long. I don't know what happened to him. You know, how could any of us know? You know, but I just wonder if maybe it had something to do with his son. You would think a preacher's dream would be that someday his son would take over for him and step into that role. And you know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But something happened to him. At this point, his conscience is so seared. And, you know, there's been people in that ministry. It's like the right-hand man.
Elder Canfield.
Elder Canfield was struck with some vision disorder. And, I mean, he came up with, you know, eye surgery and like a patch over his eye. And, you know, they just get up there week after week after week, taking up multiple offerings in each service with a different gimmick each week. Before Mr. Canfield, there was another elder, Mr. Bender, and he had left the ministry for a couple of years. And he came crawling back and, you know, was reinstated. And, you know, one day he leaves a Wednesday night service, driving home on his Harley, and was killed instantly. And I just wonder if God gets people out of that. And if they go back for the paycheck and if there's consequences to that. I don't think God judges them, but, you know, I think if people are disobedient, and they're helping to promote the scam, that, you know, I don't think God judges them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think that they move into an area where maybe He pulls the protection away and gives them a chance to repent. And if they don't, well, you know, things can happen.
That's it. That's it. One of the reasons that why we do this broadcast, and we want people to come out of these churches. We want people to stop supporting these ministries because they only stay afloat because people support them. And we've seen quite a few of these so-called ministries come crashing down, and I think the same thing is going to be true of Rod Parsley. I really do.
With the lawsuits, and you know, he'll get on TV and he'll say, if you pay off God's debt, He'll pay off your debt. Well, God doesn't have any debt, but Rod Parsley Incorporated has some lawsuits against him, and that's what he was referring to. He just called it something else.
Yeah. So that would be some interesting video to have is of the buildings. I have not personally seen those buildings. I was in Columbus probably about 10 years ago or more, and we pulled up to the front of World Harvest Church at the time. But well, I met Rod Parsley years ago when he was first starting out in the 1980s, when he used to come up to Crystal River with Norval Hayes and mm-hmm. preach at his little church there. And this is before he was married. And so it was a long time ago. And mm-hmm. you know, he was still a sweet brother back then. You know, the fame, I guess, the fame and the fortune, and it destroyed him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I just thank God that I got out of that, because, you know, I would call that part of the apostate church, and that
yeah.
will take someone to hell just as fast as anything else.
Yes, yes. And why, I believe that God really showed mercy to Rod Parsley, and this was not allowing him to die, that God has mm-hmm. given him a chance to turn around. And that's the thing mm-hmm. that, you know, we hope and we pray for, because you see his daughter, and he's training his daughter up just to be just like him.
She is, except she does not have the charisma, and that's, I think, why you see, you know, other preachers coming in, because somebody is
nobody can
take
his place.
Take
yeah, nobody
right.
can take
right.
his place. What right. about the son now? Because I noticed that he claims that his son was healed of his autism. And but I never, when they have the son on the platform, he never says anything. Has he ever been, did you ever see him get up and say anything?
He does. It's always very limited, though. So I don't know. I think he's handicapped, and I don't know a lot about autism. It's a horrible thing for anyone to have to deal with, I'm sure. But
yeah, it is hard.
You know,
it is awful.
I think it's certainly a handicap, and maybe he's hope, you know, I guess he's maybe higher functioning than a lot of people, but he doesn't say a whole lot, at least
yeah.
in public.
Because Rod claims that he gave $100,000 offering, and they him and his wife sowed a seed for their son's healing, and that God basically healed him.
Well, that I'm guessing here, but that money probably went from his back left pocket to his left back right
That's,
pocket.
He gave
so
it to the church, yeah. He gave it to the church.
The church is World Harvest Church Incorporated, and I think Rod Parsley and Ellen Parsley and all of them are the primary shareholders, or however you say it, in a 501c3 P corporation. You know, he's certainly the CEO, and then the other officers, I'm sure, are all family members. So whatever you know, finances that corporation has are I think equally distributed between the major shareholders. And so yeah, if it didn't go from his left to right pocket, it's in one of the other family members.
Yeah. And so the Bible college, and do you know how many students actually attend their Bible college?
Well, you know, when I went there, this was in the mid-90s, that ministry was red hot, and there was over 1,000 students.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of hype back then, and really it was just a bunch of kids, I think, who worshiped the ground that Rod Parsley walked on. And,
yeah.
And just, you know, he comes across as if he believes it so much that everybody else believes it, and I think that was the attraction.
Yeah.
But that building is since closed, and I don't know how many are there, but I would say, you know, a fraction of that. I would be surprised if there's more than 250 students.
Yeah. It looked like they had some dormitories there also.
Yeah, they built quite a complex there on Gender Road. There's, you know, I don't know how many thousands of square feet, but yeah, there's buildings and dormitories, and that's Rod Parsley's nest egg. I mean, it's some point he'll probably sell that thing, pay off the debt, and whatever whatever is left over is money for his wife to live on through her old age, and his children to have for, you know, their life.
Yeah. Yeah, so even if it does go down, and really, if Rod doesn't repent, and it is going to go down, it probably will close up, because there's no way he can maintain the ministry, the television ministry, the Bible college, this monster that he's created in the condition that he's in now. There's just no way. Now, the lawsuits, as far as the lawsuits, there's several lawsuits pending, because I know he talked about one, that I think it was a $2 million or a $3 million lawsuit.
I don't know a lot about them. I read about one, and it was a couple of years ago at Christmas time. You know, they had lost a settlement for several million dollars, and I think it was due to a worker and maybe the nursery, you know, physically abusing a child such that, you know, there were marks left on the child, and they, you know, they lost that lawsuit. And you know, Rod Parks, who was saying the devil stole his money, and, you know, that people should help pay off God's debt, and then God would pay off their debt. But, you know, like I said before, that debt he was referring to was Rod Parsley, World Harvest Church Incorporated lawsuit. God doesn't use money, obviously. He doesn't have any debt.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's a sad state of affairs. It really is. And I just pray that more people will have their eyes opened and just get out of that place before it's too late. Because, you know, Rod Parsley, the way he is now, he does act like a cult leader. He really does. He's got all the potential to be a full-blown cult leader. And the people that are left there, we hope and we pray that they leave. If he doesn't repent and change his ways, that they just get out of there. They run for their lives. I don't know how the people can take it, because I know there's got to be some wonderful people there that love God.
Yeah, he's it is. You know, when I think of a cult leader, I think of someone who's, it's more the control than the money. But when I think of World Harvest Church and Rod Parsley, I think it's someone who's just strictly in it for the money. And the reason I say that is because that's all they ever talk about. And so, you know, you'll hear this grandiose spiritual, dramatic sermon, but every single time it leads up to put a seed with your need and give me your money and multiple offerings, and it's all about the money, it would seem to me.
I wonder, though, because he has to be half crazed that he can't see for himself that all those seeds that he sowed and all the claims that he made, it didn't stop him from getting throat cancer. Do you ever think in his wildest imagination he would have thought that he was going to come down with throat cancer?
It's hard to imagine what's going through his mind. I mean, all I can think of is that his conscience is so seared that, you know, God has given him over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
And he's just going through the motions. It's like nothing has changed. Just deny it and it'll go away. But, you know, in the meantime, the ministry is declining. You know, his health has been declining. And you know, he has a chance to repent. I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope he does, too. I really do. And that's really our prayer for him, is that he will repent and turn around, because it would be wonderful. It would be so wonderful if he would do that, even if he has to lose it all. He might as well. He's going to lose it anyway. So he might as well lose it all and start all over again and do it the right way. Because there's so many people's lives at stake, and so many good people, and then people that are looking for the truth and they're looking for Jesus, and then they have to come upon somebody like Rod Parsley, who claims to know Jesus, who uses his name, And it's awful. It's just awful. But I thank God that you called in today. It's great to have somebody's testimony from somebody that's actually been there at World Harvest and seen it firsthand. And have you seen Rod since he's been back there? Have you been in the building to take a look at him?
I went once a few months ago, and I was wondering, Susan, could I just read one quick scripture out of 2 Peter 2?
Yes.
And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed." And what I really feel sorry for, Susan, is that are all the people that Rod Parsley has hurt over the years, you know, who are either in an apostate church and blind to that fact and going to hell because Rod Parsley is their salvation, not God. They've put a person between them and God, other than Jesus as our mediator. And the second group are those who have left the church because the promises that he has made for them to combine their seed with their giving have been empty. They've gotten discouraged, and they've walked away from the church. My wife almost did. And I mentioned this before. I said, God is not entitled to bless you because you gave money to Rod Parsley Incorporated. And I feel sorry for those people who have left the church because of him, you know, either through the show of Breakthrough or through the World Harvest Church Ministry or through the Bible College. I imagine there are thousands of people he has hurt over the years. And so I was, the day he got up on stage and could not speak, I was thankful.
Yeah. Well, it was really a sign from the Lord. When God takes away your speaking voice, that's a major, should be a major wake-up call for anybody. That should be major.
Theologically, I don't know if God struck him or not, but I would say that the gift that God had given him was shut off to the point where he could not pervert it further and hurt more people.
Exactly. That was my feeling, you know, is that he could not pervert it further. Yeah. Because there's a guy that he has a lot of charisma. It's undeniable. I mean, he really does. And he really could be something for God. He really could be a testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, it's not about God. It's about Rod.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, to his own destruction. And we hope and we pray, Rod Parsley, that you listen to this program, because I know people have checked us out from your so-called ministry there. I hope you listen, please listen to what people are saying, because it's not to hurt you or your family. You've already been hurt. You know, we just hope and we pray that we see some kind of a change. But it'll be interesting to see as the months go on. But we were going to talk a little bit about Marcus Lamb, but we'll do that next week and some of the others. But I'm so glad that you called into the program today, because this truly was a blessing. And for somebody to hear it firsthand, the listeners to hear firsthand from somebody that's been there, and that you were able to get out, thank God, to be able to see it. Because sometimes it's hard to lead a church where your friends are there and you've been there for a long time. It's really hard sometimes to leave.
Well, Susan, you know, I went in person for probably 10 years, but the last 5 years I watched and I gave faithfully online through the online, you know, the internet service.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with me. God just woke me up one day and he said, you know, he's bringing in the lowest of the low of the low. If he would allow them in there, it just woke me up. And God got me out of it. So I give God all the glory.
Yeah, amen.
Because if he hadn't opened my eyes, I wouldn't have seen it. And the funny thing was, he got my wife out at the exact same time, and she and I never discussed it together. I just said,
yeah,
I stopped tithing to that church last year. I hope you're not mad at me, but I'm not giving to that place anymore. And she said, well, you know what? I feel the same way. So he did it for both of us, and he did it separately, and I hope he does it for a lot more people.
I do too. I really do, because we want to see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ be the glorious church. You know, that's what we want. We want to see a revolution in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we go back to the real gospel, the simple gospel of what it really means to be a Christian, and what it really means to preach the gospel. Because I noticed that even Rod, you know, in that clip I played, he's talking about these anointings, and these anointings are still here from Amy Semple McPherson and from Lester Summerall, but he fails to mention, really, and fails to emphasize the fact that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his anointing. It has nothing to do with us, but he still comes in with all that pride, and it was sad to watch. I thought last week was very, very sad to watch, because he looked terrible. For the last few weeks that he's appeared at the church there, he's looked horrible. You know, he really looks like a sick man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a different gimmick every week. It's a ministry in decline. They seem to be at the point of desperation, and they're bringing in the lowest of the low, and I just hope people wake up.
Yeah, well, I happened to watch about two Wednesdays ago when Joni was there, and when she comes in, she didn't come in through the back there and come onto the platform like they usually do. She marches down the aisle with, I think she had two people on either side of her carrying her Bible and things, you know. She makes this grand entrance, and I'm like, what are you doing? It was just so ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. And then she says something about, I have my armor bearers or whatever. I'm like, oh, come on. Just get real.
Well, First Family Worship is just another gimmick, so that works for some people, I think, so they use it.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, after all she's been through, this woman, and she still comes in there with that pride. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I said, that's it. Is there any hope for these people? You would think that at least the wife, after seeing the torture that her husband went through, being a witness to all of it, you would think that there would be some kind of repentance even in her. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it. So, you know, we'll see what, but it's like you said, there's nobody there to take his place. He doesn't have a replacement there. And he's had to bring in, every week he's bringing in somebody else to kind of fill the gap there. But,
and I think it's been such a family empire for so long. I really don't see them relinquishing control to, you know, some other major ministry.
And
I really do think it would go bust before they would do something like that.
Oh, I think it is going to go bust. And then the vultures will be circling and see who's going to take over or who's going to buy the property at a foreclosure auction or something. But, no, I don't see it surviving, not at this point. You know, Derek, when God decides he's going to judge his thing, and we've seen two major buildings demolished here in the Tampa Bay area, the Without Walls, their two sanctuaries, so-called, were totally demolished. So God just knocks the buildings down, and it's over. You're out of here. So that's the same thing could happen to World Harvest. Somebody could buy that land and demolish the buildings.
Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I went to Randy White's church in Tampa for 5 years back when they had the bubble. And so,
God, oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. So it was like, yeah. So I don't know.
Don't be embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed.
Oh, so you were there back in the beginning. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, they had the white folding chairs.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I didn't go there, but I remember them having that place. And what did they call it? Tampa Christian Center at the time?
South Tampa Christian Center. And then it was Without Walls. And then they got the Coca-Cola building and, you know, all that.
Were you there when they got that building?
Yeah, we had gone back and forth from Florida to Columbus a couple times. And, yeah, we saw that building. They renovated it inside. And, again, it was just the offerings there were so tedious because it's peer pressure. Bring your offering up to the front.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course,
yeah,
it takes 20 minutes to move 1,000 people through the line, and then they did that twice. So there's 40 minutes.
Did you see my video of Randy's building, the one he went to after he left there? If you get a chance to go on my YouTube channel, you'll get a good laugh out of this one because he went from that building there into this dump. I mean, you can't believe what a dump it was. It was an old, moldy building. My YouTube channel is Susan Puzio, and you can see it. I think it's called Randy White's New Digs or something like that. But anyway, it shows the building. The day I was there was like an old junky shopping cart sitting out front. And it was just such a dump, but I thought this is so fitting. You know, it was so fitting.
They seem to have a different business model than Rod Parsley. Rod Parsley is building the family empire, whereas Randy and Paula White seem to, you know, start things up, skim as much money off the top as they can, and then flush it through bankruptcy court.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's back now. He moved out of the dumpy building there on Kennedy, and he bought a place on Grady in back of Yankee Stadium. And he says that it's 100% paid for, and it was about $1 million piece of property. He said that they're debt-free. I don't know how he did it because they did file for bankruptcy in 2014, but then he went, and I don't know how he got this building, but anyway, he's there now, and he's actually having George Bloomer there at the church, so-called, tomorrow. But, yeah. But, you know,
I was going to say, I would really like to see Senator Grassley step in again with a little more conviction this time and raise the standard on these ministries such that, you know, first of all, they can't build a family empire, and secondly, they can't skim money off the top for their personal use, and there's only X amount permissible for ministry expenses over and above actually taking care of needful people and doing the work of the real ministry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, they can do their investigation, but I like what God did a lot better because I personally, I can't tell you, I couldn't have imagined myself, you know, tracking these two wolves for a few years like I've been doing and riding over to Lakeland and looking at this place that they had there, 65 acres. I don't know if you've ever been there to Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, but sat on 65 acres. It was almost a 10,000-seat sanctuary, and it also had about a 200-room building that was built in the 1920s. It was a Carpenter's Home Retirement Center for retired carpenters. Beautiful building, and they owned all this property, and it was all derelict. The electricity had been shut off in 2011, and they really hadn't met there since then, and then it finally went into foreclosure. But and then the building was demolished. It's gone. The 10,000-seat sanctuary is gone. The one in Tampa is gone. And I couldn't, I mean, God did it a lot better. You know, God mm-hmm. did it a lot better. And then when you hear Paula White tell the story, she goes over there to Apopka, and she tells the people there that she left Tampa to come to Apopka because God was calling her there, and that she left $60 million in assets in Tampa. When, you know, that's a big fat lie because she didn't leave anything. It's gone.
mm-hmm.
Their world headquarters building, that five-story building they had, it's demolished.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God did it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's okay if there's investigations and then there's rules and regulations put in place, but when God decides he's going to judge a thing and it's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And I think, you know, the deception is Randy and Paula think they're making a comeback, but it's not going to happen.
That's
you know,
right.
It's just not going to happen. It might happen for a season, but it was pitiful. The morning I drove over to Tampa because I said, I have to see this myself. Here, I'm going to go and I'm going to take a look at Lindsay Roberts. And she was in that dumpy building of Randy's, and there wasn't 30 women in that building that morning.
Mm.
Yeah. And this was once the great Lindsay Roberts. So
mm-hmm.
God's judgment can't compare to what any man can do. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on, I believe. You know, if
mm-hmm.
these people don't heed the message where there's voices out there and trying to get something across to them. And most of all, God's trying to get something across to them. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to see more and more of it. But I would be very interested in seeing some pictures or some video of those buildings that are up for sale. Is it listed with a realtor?
You know, I'm not sure. That was a few months ago. I'll take a drive by, and if I see it still up, I'll snap one and send it to you.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Great interview.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye now.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening today. I'm so glad that our brother called in and gave his testimony of his experience there for many years with Rod Parsley and with Randy White. And we are calling on both of them today to repent. Repent, Rod Parsley. But most of all, we want to leave this program without giving our listeners a chance to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. Remember that people are human and they do sin, and they don't represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He left heaven and he came to earth, and he died on a cross for your sins so that your sins could be forgiven and that you could have eternal life in heaven. We know that we were bought with a price, all of us that have been born again by the Spirit of God, and we know right from wrong. And that's why the people that we talk about, they should know better, because it's so important for people to know that there is a God that loves them truly. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't keep your eyes on people, because people will disappoint you at times. But Jesus Christ will never let you down. He loves you. He loved you enough to give his life for you. The Bible says in the book of John, the Gospel of John in the third chapter, ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you of all your sins and give you a brand new life today. Read the book of Romans today, where the Bible says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved today. You won't. You can live, you can have life and life more abundantly. So don't look at people. Don't look at the and say, well, look what they're doing. No, God's not going to ask you about anybody else on the Day of Judgment. He's going to ask you about your life. You're not going to answer for Jimmy Swaggart or Rod Parsley or anybody else. You're going to answer for yourself. So please, before it's too late, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ today. Repent of your sins, and you will receive a brand new life. So I want to thank everybody that listened today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. I want to thank my guest, my caller. Wow, I'm so glad he called in. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. On a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow.